In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today is the Sunday of St. Gregory Palamas, the second Sunday of the Lenten season. And the Church speaks to us of this one particular saint, and he in particular because of what he revealed to us, or rather what God helped to reveal, to make clear about our faith. This is a teaching that existed throughout the history of the Church, but like many teachings, it was challenged at a certain point. A heresy arose, and then there had to be a clarification. What is true? What is from God? What is the nature of our life? What is the nature of our faith? What does it mean to be a Christian? And in the case of St. Gregory Palamas, there was the great debate between St. Gregory and Barlaam. Now, Barlaam taught that we could have philosophical knowledge about God, but that we couldn't directly experience God. We could know about Him, but we couldn't really know Him. Not directly. It's as if I could learn all about Bruce, but never really know him. Except, as important as it is for me to know Bruce, how much more important is for me to know the living God, the one who's the source of my life and my being. St. Gregory Palamas declared and argued convincingly and established for all of time, after his time, that in fact we not only can know God, but we must know God, and we must experience Him directly. Not just hear about Him, but meet Him, have a relationship with Him. You know, years ago, I had a friend who was Orthodox. He had been Orthodox since he was young, and we got into a conversation. He said, you know, people talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, but that's not Orthodox, right? I said, are you kidding me? How more personal is it to partake of His body and blood and to be participants, members of His body? That's as personal as it gets. We have to clarify, because sometimes when people say personal, what they mean is private. But that's not what personal means. Doesn't mean private. Doesn't mean that it's just your relationship with Jesus and that has nothing to do with the Church. No. We are persons. We have a personal God. And so our relationship as persons with a personal God is personal, but it's not private because it's part of the life of the Church. Each of us are members of one body of Christ. So yes, we absolutely have a direct and personal encounter and relationship, and we must, with the living God. But it's not private. The problem is, a lot of times when people think of personal relationship, they think of something like, all I have to do is believe in Jesus, and that's all I need to do. And then I'm a good Christian. Then I'm saved. But first of all, the problem is, then in Scripture, when it tells us to believe in Jesus, the word in Greek, eis, actually literally means into. Well, that's interesting. We're supposed to actually, if you translate it literally, believe into Jesus. What does that mean? That in our belief in Him, we enter into His body. We become part of His body. Members, right? St. Paul talks about. Like, each of us is a member of the body. And not only that, but to believe into Him means that we trust Him. We believe Him. We have faith in Him. If we believe Him, then whatever He tells us, we do. We have obedience. We follow Him. And He says to be members of His body. He says to follow this particular way, to take up our cross and to follow Him. So having a personal relationship with the living God means being very, very challenged, but it also means being part of a community. All of this is connected to our relationship with God. But St. Gregory Palamas declares once and for all that not only can we have that relationship, but it's a direct experience of the grace, the divine energy, the reality of God, who He is. We can taste of that. We can partake of it. We can know God. Do you know Christ? Not just do you know about Him, not just have you learned about His life, you know He was crucified, you know information about Him, you know information about the church, but can you tell me about the Christ that you've met? The true God who has revealed Himself to you personally. Because we must have that kind of direct and personal faith with our God. Now, every relationship takes effort. And this is another one of our mistakes. We think relationship is easy. You know, Jesus loves me, I love Jesus, it's easy. Well, what human relationship can you think of that's easy? Can you tell me? Do you have any good relationship with anybody that you would describe as, it's never any problem, it's never any effort, I never have to do anything in particular to show that I love that person? Oh, really? Then I don't know if that person knows that you love them, you know? If I never tell my wife I love you, if I never, even more importantly, do things to show her that I love her, how can she believe that I really love her? And what kind of relationship is that? Well, I love you, but I don't want to spend any time with you. I love you, but I don't want to have to deal with you on a daily basis or look at you or think about you too much. Because I'm busy, I need to do other things, you know? What kind of love is that? What kind of relationship? So we know that our relationship with God takes effort. And so what opposes it? What gets in the way? What does St. Ephrem the Syrian say in his prayer? O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth. What's sloth? Laziness. Laziness. Selfishness, right? Because laziness comes from selfishness. Well, I don't want to make an effort. Effort sounds hard. I don't like that word. I'd rather just have things be easy, you know? Why do I want to make an effort? So we become slothful. And this is one of the chief passions or vices that we hear about in the tradition of the church. And what's the opposite of sloth? What's the virtue that we want to instill in us instead of being lazy and slothful? One word for it is diligence. Being diligent. Being dedicated. Being willing to work hard. But you know, another angle from which to look at that is patience. Patience, which literally means to suffer, to be willing to suffer through the effort, to suffer through the struggle and the challenge that it requires to have a real relationship with God. So we must be diligent, we must be patient. We hear about patience also in St. Ephrem's prayer. And I'll be meditating on different aspects of St. Ephrem's prayer throughout the rest of Lent. So today we think about how we ask God to take from us a spirit of sloth and to give us rather a spirit of patience. And this makes possible our relationship with Christ. Why do we get slothful though? Why do we become paralyzed, we might ask, in our relationship with God? Why? What sorts of things come to create obstacles for us that are hard to overcome? Sometimes it's because of our sin. We sin and we find ourselves paralyzed from that sin. We find ourselves overwhelmed by the feeling of our sinfulness and we may despair, right? Sloth leads to despair and vice versa. Well, forget it. There's no hope for me. I can't do any better. You know, I keep falling. I can't get back up or I can't stay up. So what's the use? Why struggle? Why bother? These are the kinds of lies from the devil that we can listen to. So we become stuck and we become paralyzed and mired in the sin. But you know, when we're tempted to be overwhelmed by our sinfulness, we should always think of the example of Manasseh. Y'all know the story of Manasseh in the Old Testament? You hear about him in 2 Chronicles. He was one of the kings of Judah. And you know what he did? He was one of the worst kings of all, idolatrous, worshiping demons, worshiping idols. He took his own son and burned him as a sacrifice to an idol. His own son. Can you imagine? So he sinned immeasurably against God. But you know what he also did? He repented. And that's what he's known for. And there's that prayer of St. Manasseh, that prayer of Manasseh that we pray at Compline. He's not considered a saint, but he is considered a model of repentance. So we have that prayer of Manasseh. He truly repented. So whatever our sin is, we should follow Manasseh's example in repenting and not being overwhelmed. And you know, St. Dionysius says, St. Dionysius the Areopagite, he says Manasseh could have despaired. Why? Because the sins were so great. It would have been understandable if he fell into despair. But he said he didn't. Because rather than looking at the magnitude of his sin, he looked at the magnitude of God's mercy. And he had hope for forgiveness. And he received it. But you know, even if we're not paralyzed because of sin, we face many other challenges that can be fearful, frightening for us. And that may paralyze us. And it may create an obstacle in going deeper into our relationship with God. You know what Father Zacharias of Essex the monastery in Essex, England, St. John the Baptist, says, is this: when God sees that man is serious about being saved, he places an obstacle before him so as to test him. So this is not when you're sinning against God, you're running away from God or anything like that. When you're serious about being saved, he places an obstacle in front of you to test you, and thereby to increase the degree of his willingness and determination, he will examine and chastise him as a father would his beloved son. Wow. God gives us responsibility. He says, you're my son, you're my daughter. I want you to take responsibility. And I give you that honor. He recognizes our dignity. He says, you can do it. I'm going to put a challenge in front of you, but you can overcome it. That's what God says to us all the time, and especially when he sees that we're serious about our relationship with him and we want to go deeper in that relationship. So Father Zacharias says the way forward for us when we face those difficult trials is to hang everything on the mercy of God. That's his expression. Hang everything on the mercy of God. Don't put your hope in anything else, not in yourself, not in someone else. In Christ, turn to him with all your heart, whatever you're facing. And of course, this is not just so that we can be healed of a particular sickness or helped through with whatever trouble we're in or for our pain that we're experiencing to be stopped. That may be desirable. We may want that, for the pain to stop, for the suffering to stop. But what's most desirable of all is to be healed of our sinfulness and to become holy, to be freed from the passions, to repent, to turn away from evil, and to have a deep and personal relationship with God. So St. Gregory Palamas, who's commemorated today, once preached a sermon on this Sunday's gospel. You know, now in 2019 and for centuries now, we've remembered St. Gregory Palamas on this Sunday. But when St. Gregory Palamas was bishop in Thessaloniki, it wasn't St. Gregory Palamas Sunday, but it was the same gospel reading of the paralytic, according to St. Mark. And so listen to what St. Gregory says about this passage, because it has everything to do with our paralysis, which stops us, prevents us from having a deeper relationship with our God. St. Gregory says, anyone addicted to sensual pleasures is paralyzed in his soul and is lying sick on the bed of voluptuousness with its deceptive bodily ease. You know, bodily ease. Well, that sounds pretty good. You know, our society is all about having convenience and bodily ease. That sounds real nice. But what he's saying is that's a deception. It's a deception. You know, it's that old from Proverbs, a little folding of the hands and going to sleep. You know, it leads a man to ruin, right? We lose our focus. We lose our diligence. We lose our sharp edge and our longing for God. And it's really easy to do, to get kind of dull and to wander off here and to wander off there and to start seeking bodily ease. And then pretty soon we lose our way and we become paralyzed in our soul and we're lying on the bed just like that man in the gospel. But what did that man in the gospel do? He believed that Jesus could heal him. And so he asked his friends, "Bring me to Christ. I need to meet Christ and he can raise me up from this bed of paralysis." But there was no room. So what did he have his friends do? Climb up on the roof, remove the tiles, lower him in. What incredible boldness. What childlike faith that he would be received when he did that. And of course he did. He was. But listen again to St. Gregory. "Once, however, he, the paralytic, and us, he has been won over by the exhortations of the gospel. He confesses his sins and triumphs over them and the paralysis they have brought upon his soul. He is taken up and brought to the Lord by these four." Okay, the four friends of the paralytic, St. Gregory is saying, these are the four friends of us and our paralysis. Self-condemnation, and I'm going to explain that. Confession of former sins, promising to renounce evil ways from now on, and prayer to God. What does he mean by self-condemnation? Not low self-esteem, not beating ourselves up, not thinking that we're horrible people, but being facing reality, facing the reality of our lives. He's saying that we judge ourselves before God, we place ourselves before his mercy. We say, "God, I'm a sinner. I've done all of these things. I'm like Manasseh, you know? I've ruined my life with all of these things. But now I stand before you and your mercy. You're the merciful judge, and I trust in your mercy and your forgiveness." That's what it means to judge ourselves before God, that we place ourselves before his mercy, knowing our sinfulness. And then we confess our sins before God and before the priest as witness. And we promise to renounce our evil ways. In other words, we put energy and effort into changing our life. And most importantly, we pray constantly to God. And so St. Gregory says, our mind is like the roof. Our mind, it's that roof, you know, covering the house where Jesus was, with heavy tiles of obsessive thoughts, with worldly things. You know, obsessive thoughts about worldly things are weighing us down, that roof. And so he says, those friends of ours bring us up onto the roof and they start pulling away those heavy tiles of obsessive thoughts so their mind is opened up to God. And he says, our paralyzed mind immediately hears him saying, just like the paralytic heard Christ say, "Son." He calls him son, and he calls us son or daughter. And he received forgiveness and healing. In addition, the mind, our paralyzed mind, receives strength to lift up and carry the bed on which it is lying. The bed, of course, means the body, which is used to bad habits, which can be moved to serve God when the soul is healed of its paralysis. Isn't that beautiful? That God will heal our paralyzed soul, and then our soul will move our body to serve God. So rather than letting our body lead us down, we must lead it up to serve God, teaching it to stand in prayer, bowing down in repentance, to fast, to glorify God in every way. Then the enemy is defeated, and we are led to our true home in heaven. So St. Gregory teaches us this way of stillness, of going inside and meeting Christ in our heart, which is the opposite of the way that Barlaam taught. Barlaam taught rationalism, you know, that we must reason about everything, that we live simply in terms of this world, that we stay busy, you know. But St. Gregory teaches us a different way of finding stillness, of finding a place of quiet. And surprisingly, this helps us more than anything to overcome sloth, to have times in our life of stillness where we come face to face with God and when we come face to face with our own hearts, our own selves, not running around and staying busy, but being diligent in our inner life, the life of our soul, and being patient in struggling to come face to face with our deep heart. For this, we need the place of rest in God, a place of silence. So for the rest of this Lenten season, may we focus on developing a place of silence within. Maybe fasting from Facebook, from constantly checking our phones, from excessive seeking of entertainments and diversions, from excessive busyness, to pray more, to consider spiritual things more, to be quiet more. Only then can we begin to find our deep heart. And only when we find our deep heart, as Father Zacharias says, will we make real spiritual progress in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So may our Lord Jesus Christ, together with his Father, who is from everlasting, and his all holy and good and life-giving Spirit, grant us the grace to enter more deeply into relationship with him, now and forever. Amen.